All right, Shilling Show rolls on here on a Turbo Tuesday edition. David Murata joins us, the president of Murata Wealth Management, online at muratonmoney.com, where there's a good amount of very interesting and useful articles there. So I would encourage you to go browse there. And a lot of times the things that we're talking about are recently published stories. So, David, welcome back. We got two topics today. We're going to start out with healthcare subsidies. And I know people, probably a lot of people listening right now, are really resistant to this. But let's talk about what the opportunity is.
The Kaiser Family Foundation is a website you can go to compute how much you can get in terms of healthcare subsidies. And this year and last year, so 2021 and 2022, this year and next year, there are massive healthcare subsidies and there's no income limits. So long as your plan, the silver plan, doesn't matter what plan you can get the bronze plan, but so long as the silver plan is over 8.5% of your modified adjusted income, then there's a subsidy for you. And if you try to do the math for that, you know, even someone who earns as much as $320,000 can get a subsidy.
Wow.
So it's massive for the subsidies that rich people can get, and it's massive for the subsidy that you can get. And I'm of the opinion that if you can get a subsidy from the government, you should go ahead and take it. There's no hypocrisy in that. You can vote against the idiots that put the subsidy in place, and I think you should, but you should just go ahead and get the subsidy.
Yeah, we had this conversation a couple years ago, and I think it put a lot of people's minds to rest when we talked about this, because, like you said, we don't like these things, but in some ways you're just defeating yourself if you say, well, out of principle, I'm just not taking it, because what you're doing is giving away your own money to other people. They're all taking it gladly, and you're getting the short end of the stick, so we should work to eliminate them. If I could wipe out Obamacare, I don't care if I'm getting a subsidy or not. If I could wipe it out with the wave of a wand, I'd do it in a second. But in the meantime, the reality is that you've got to take advantage of these things to keep your head above water.
Yeah, and these are subsidies that are on the exchange. So if you work at UVA, you don't get them because UVA already subsidizes their healthcare insurance. And if you have a grandfathered plan, you don't get them. And if you're part of a sharing ministry, you don't get them. But if you go to the exchange, generally the exchange plans cost $1 more than the non-exchange plans. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the exchange plans, then there could be a benefit as much as $14,500. And so these are significant subsidies that most people may not be aware of, and they might just go and renew their own plan and not do anything about it. But if you're eligible for these subsidies, you should go ahead and get them, because that could be $14,500. You can just put in your pocket, or you can just save and use it for the next generation, because they're going to need it because we're spending their money.
If you're already in Obamacare, in other words, if you already have a program that's purchased off the healthcare.gov, are you automatically qualified? Is there anything you need to do?
I think you still need to make sure that you're going and getting the subsidy, because there's a monthly payment that they can make to you for that kind of stuff. So I think you should still go and make sure that you're going to get the subsidy.
One of the interesting things, David Murata, about these plans is that there seemed to be a very large deductible. At least when I went and looked, it seemed like between $13,000 and $17,000 before they pay anything. Now, they will pay some of your wellness costs, maybe some of your doctor visits, but as far as anything else, it looked like you'd have to go way out of pocket before any money came back.
Yeah, about 90%, 95% of the people will never really take any benefit from their health insurance. 5% of the people spend all of the health insurance that, you know, that health insurance spending that needs to be spent. So if you're not in the 5%, you're probably losing a significant amount of money on health insurance. It may actually be better for you not to have any health insurance. Oddly enough, they've done that. And they've done that by having young, healthy people subsidize us old geezers who are about to go on Medicare. So I'm 61, and people who are 61 to 65 have the highest health insurance. And they didn't want it to be astronomically high, so they set limits on how high it can be, and they put those limits on the younger people. So my plan can't be any more than five times what a young person's plan is. And just to give you a benchmark, I looked at the year before Obamacare went into effect, I looked at what healthcare should cost, and it should cost about $35 a month for my son. And now you can't get a plan anywhere near that, because they've put all of the health insurance costs on young people, and they have to pay a lot more for their health insurance now.
Yeah, the pre-Obamacare that we were paying premiums for our kids, I think was maybe $59 or $69 a month.
Right.
And those things all went poof, even though those liars told us we could keep our program if we wanted them. They went away faster than you could shake a stick.
Yeah, because now young people have to have health insurance. They weren't grandfathered because they hadn't been around long enough to be grandfathered, and so that's why they all went poof.
So I keep hearing that there's all these people that have no insurance, and you just talked about having no insurance. First of all, I thought it was illegal. Second of all, the promise of Obamacare was that everyone's getting insurance, and now they're saying, we need to do such and such and such and such so we don't have all these uninsured people. Can you unravel that for me?
Yeah. So because they've made young people's health insurance so expensive, most young people don't have health insurance.
Why aren't they in jail? Or fined.
Yeah, because the mandate was taken away and things like that, and that was all deemed as being too invasive in people's lives. It's anytime the government has some great idea, they have to have the force of putting people in jail just to try to implement it. And even there, they don't implement it all that well. On the one hand, it's terrible because it's easy to get health insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, before Obamacare, it was very easy for a young person to get health insurance, and it was very inexpensive. Now it's very expensive. They did extend the coverage up to age 26. I think they did that so that all the 18 to 26-year-olds would not realize what these policies cost, because now you have to be 26 years old and higher before you're actually subject to health insurance that's not on your parents' plan. And that just keeps those voting blocks in check, because now they don't realize what it costs because they're on their parents' plan. You know, all of this is a ridiculous sort of approach. You could just let people do whatever they want. That would be one approach. But that's not the approach that the government takes.
So I want to go there before we go to the break and switch gears to talk about inflation. But there was a presidential debate, and Ron Paul was participating, and someone asked him about that. They asked him the question, well, if someone shows up in the hospital without insurance, are you just going to let them die? And he had a brilliant answer, and I don't remember what it was because it's been so long ago. But yeah, I'm in favor of letting people do what they want, but there also is a consequence of doing what you want. And we don't seem willing as a society to allow the natural consequences of bad decisions to take effect.
Yeah, and his answer was, well, we already have laws that say that you can't let someone die in the hospital, no matter what it costs. So we already have that law. That law is irrelevant. And we have a lot of people who just use the ER, you know, as their own doctor because they can't afford a doctor. And how hospitals do have to bear that cost. Hospitals still have to bear that cost. If someone shows up and they don't have insurance and they're in the ER, we're still going to have to treat them. So it's not a question of insurance getting the hospital more money. Insurance is just insurance, and it gets insurance companies more money.
I want to say finally before we go to the break, because this one just hit me as well, is that all of these hospitals are now looking like 5-star hotels. The way they're building hospitals, give me the old-fashioned hospital that was just kind of bare walls, you know, block walls and an inexpensive linoleum floor and inexpensive coverage. Does that even exist anymore, or is the model now that you're in some sort of a concierge hotel and you're going to pay for it?
Yeah, and I'm also, you know, if we're going to get on our diatribes, I'm also sad for people not to take responsibility for their own health.
Yeah.
Now it's just, if something's wrong with my body, I don't know what to do. I'm not going to ask what to do. I'm just going to go to the doctor, and I'm going to let the doctor tell me what to do. You should know how your body works, and you should know how to keep it healthy. That's basically what you should do. And whatever it takes to do that, you know, we get operator manuals for our chairs, but we don't have an operator manual for our body.
We're talking with David Morata. 977-1070 is the phone number. If you have comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to go to the break here and come back on the other side and spend our remaining time on inflation. How are you liking your shopping experiences these days? Try to buy a used car lately? The Shilling Show back in a moment. All right, The Shilling Show into our final segment. David Morata is our guest. Let's go to the phones here because Jordan is with us. And Jordan, we're going to go quickly. If you have a question or comment for David Morata, go right ahead, please.
All right. Thank you very much for bringing all this to light. I want to say, though, I've gone in a couple of times, maybe 3 times, to the emergency room for an injury without insurance a few years ago, and they treated me, but I certainly got bills and had to pay those bills later on. They looked at my income, and it wasn't great, but, you know, I still had to pay the bills, and they didn't give me any break or anything like that. So I wanted to throw that into the mix.
All right, let's get a...
Jordan, if you can stay on the line for a second, they should give you what they call an uninsured rate. And then how much did your was your total expenses out of pocket?
It was everything. I mean, I don't, it was, like I said, years ago, but they just sent me bills. Okay, one of them, I broke my arm, and they sent me, I'd say the total bill was about $2,500, and I paid that in the, I had to call to their office, their financial office, and do installments.
Right. Here's what I'll say. If your bills are anything less than $7,000, you're probably making out better than if you had insurance. Oddly enough, you know, we had a staff member whose husband went into the ER and the bills were $7,000 and they had chosen not to get insurance. They worked it out after the fact and found out that it was a push. It was $7,000, and if they had insurance, it was going to have been $7,000. And either way, it was the same expense. And they thought to themselves, okay, this was a dire event that had caused them to go to the ER. If they had insurance when they went to the ER, it still would have been the same cost. Mm. And it was a push either way. So the fact that it's only $2,500, you know, that's a month's premium. You know, maybe 2 months premium at the most. It's not all that much. So I would say, Jordan, you're a prime example. If $2,500 was your expense, you're actually getting off better than if you had insurance, if you do the calculations in this area. So yeah, it might seem terrible. I mean, I know $2,500 is a large expense, but that out-of-pocket expense is easier than having insurance today when you know have insurance and it could be that much every month.
All right. Jordan, thank you very much. A very instructive call. Gosh, you know, we need an hour to talk about inflation, but let's start out by saying that you and I have been talking about this for years and sounding the alarm and saying at some point in the not-too-distant future that we're going to start seeing this. It was inevitable, right?
It certainly looked like it was inevitable for many years, and finally it's coming about. You know, inflation is, most people think of inflation as a rise in prices, and who's raising prices? It's those evil, mean corporations. But that's not the economic definition of inflation. The economic definition of inflation is an increase in the money supply. And if you ask yourself the question, well, who's increasing the money supply? That's the process of government. And one of the 10 measures of economic freedom is inflation. So that's 1/10 of the definition of economic freedom, because one of the responsibilities of government is to keep a stable money supply and not have it constantly inflated. You know, it was John Maynard Keynes who's, you know, he's primarily held up as a liberal economist, but he says, by a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. Mm. So it's part of the technique that government is going to confiscate your wealth through inflation. Inflation is huge. You know, my grandmother, it was $4 for a week's worth of groceries. And the groceries back then actually were a lot better than they are today. So, and it was, you know, it was good stuff. So $4 for a week's worth of groceries. If you think today, you know, that's $100, that's a 25 time inflation over that period for at least $100 today, maybe $120. And I have my own measures of inflation, and they're all going up by more than the official inflation rate. Officially, the current inflation is 5.4%, and 5.4% seems really low compared to what I'm experiencing everywhere. And so that's part of the problem. And the problem of inflation is more than just, you know, people talk about the supply chain or things like that. The supply chain comes about partly because of a lot of choices that people have made. So even if they're running the ports 24 hours a day, they still don't have enough truckers because of their policies in California. They still don't have enough storage units because of their policies in California. And California has done a lot of things that's caused the supply chain to have enormous problems in it.
I'm thinking about the impact of inflation on taxes and on wealth, and particularly in real estate taxes. So if inflation is driving up the price of housing, we're all going to get slammed with higher taxes, and they're going to lift their hands up and say, that's just your assessment. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, I did an article once. It was back in 2018. I did an article on how much inflation would have to be such that, because when you get inflation, it just raises all prices. So when you get inflation, your stock portfolio will go up. And if your stock portfolio goes up, well, now they want you to have to pay capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
And capital gains taxes, they want to be higher. But so just at today's rates, I was trying to figure out what rate of inflation would they take all of your earnings in real returns away in taxes. And it turns out it was 8.5%. In California, the highest tax rate is at 13. The highest tax rate in California, is 13.3%.
That's state tax?
Yeah, that's the state tax, mm-hmm. plus the 23.8% of federal tax. And at 8.5%, they would take all your real earnings away, and you'd be left with an ever so slight loss in terms of real earnings on a 5% return, real return in the stock market. You know, that's just the way things work. Since they're not willing to index capital gains for inflation, they need to do something, because now they're going to have higher inflation and it's just going to cause people to get taxed on inflation.
Well, you say they're going to need to do something, and while I agree with you 100%, the point is they're looking to get their hands, they're talking about taxing people's unrealized gains in property that they own or in other sorts of assets. So they're probably just wringing their hands with joy over this.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are unintended consequences that are intended by politicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Politicians are a greedy lot. They have their own agenda. They're not the public servants that we hope that they are. A public servant would try to figure out how little they could do, and they would start by doing no harm. We don't have public servants anymore. We have politicians who are trying to get their hands on tax dollars, primarily because why are you going to tax the rich? That's where the money is. You know, that's where they have to go to try to get money to pay for their spending spree. And their spending spree is also associated with a lot of other agendas. So Biden is very much a union president,
mm-hmm.
And he is now trying to push for union solar jobs. You know, mm-hmm. when I think of a solar company, I don't think of unions.
No.
Right. So, you know, I think maybe there's 8% union of solar companies, but he's going to put in the bill that all of these union jobs, all of these need to go to union solar jobs. And I just read recently that solar companies are creating unions at a faster rate than anyone else. So, you know, and it makes sense, because now we need to be a union in order to get this money. So now we're going to organize as a union, maybe not even for the sake of what most unions do, just to get this money. And you can't blame them, because, you know, if I need to be a union solar company to get mm-hmm. these union jobs, then I'm going to be a union solar company. We're all going to get together and collectively decide to do absolutely nothing. So that'll be what I'm going to do. So we'll have an increase in unionization.
We've got about a minute left, and I'm looking ahead here and trying to figure it out, because they kept saying that interest rates were going to go up, but they seem to have stayed very steady. I talked to somebody the other day who said they can't allow interest rates to go up because it'll bankrupt the government because of the debt. So are we going to see this very weird thing where we have inflation and low interest rates yet?
Yes. In fact, we're seeing it now. So a lot of investment companies will try to put you in a stock bond portfolio, and they'll have more bonds than you need for the next 7 years of spending. We purposefully keep our bond portfolios low, so we haven't had the problem a lot of companies have had, but a lot of companies have more bonds than they need in the next 7 years to spend. And because they have these bonds and now they're not making anything, they're kind of getting pushed to do something else. So a lot of rich people are buying houses, because if you buy a house, then you get a 30-year fixed mortgage, and a 30-year fixed mortgage at, you know, 3% mm-hmm. interest is like free money. 3% interest when their inflation is running officially at 5.4, is just giving away free money. So a lot of rich people have taken their money out of bond portfolios and they've put them into real estate investments just for that reason. Additionally, you know, if you take them out of bond portfolios and you put them into the stock market, that's a better thing. That's partly why the stock market is so high right now, is because you can't get yield anywhere else. So people are looking for trying to get some yield in a very low yield environment and a high inflation environment, or a moderate inflation environment at this point, at least officially.
He's online at MuradaOnMoney.com, and lots of the information that we discuss here in our conversations are posted there. David Murata, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.